the town where the jazz is swinging high. It's the New Orleans Outsider with Chris Goffmeyer. Oh my, we may be outsiders, but our love for New Orleans is true. So come along as I share it all with you. Sights and sounds, food and drinks, we're here to take a ride with New Orleans Outsider as our guide.
And here are your hosts, Chris Goff, Peter Newkirch, and Justin Appleberry.
Well, I tell about anyone that goes down to New Orleans for the very first time that if they really are going down there and they want to see something that they've never seen down there before and they just want a broad outline of what they should be doing in New Orleans, they need to do some kind of tour. And I've done many of them, and so have my friends on the show today. I'm Chris, along with Justin and Peter. Welcome to NOLA Outsider. And today's episode is all about tours, specifically in the French Quarter, but in New Orleans as well. We'll talk about those. And there's a lot of different kinds of tours. I was looking at some of these. I made a list, boys, and it's about, I think I have about six or seven different kinds of tours. And some of them are right around where we hang out a lot in the French Quarter. And some, like, we'll get to, like, swamp tours, stuff like that, a little bit further out. But I guess I'll start with you first, Peter. When you went down to New Orleans, when was the first time that you took a tour when you were down there with either by yourself or with your wife?
I was with my wife, and it was a ghost tour. And I don't know which year that was.
Something you normally did? Have you taken other kinds of tours before? Like, what made you do a tour here at the first place?
Well, I think especially that is promoted constantly. And I mean, that's anything you see before you go down to the city. About going down to the city, if you look on TripAdvisor, you look on any of their own websites, you look on everything. And then once you get down there, there's signs everywhere. But that's the tours are pushed hard and heavy for New Orleans of all kinds. Yes.
It's almost right. It's almost like an intro to New Orleans, right?
Yes. It is. And what's funny is I don't know if I took a lot of tours before I started going to New Orleans when I went to cities, but ever since I started doing them in New Orleans, we went to Seattle and we did a ghost tour there. Actually, in Seattle, they did one where, you know, they have this sort of second city underneath the city. You know, it's like a city from 100 years ago. And my point is, because of the tours I took in New Orleans, we took one in Hannibal, Missouri, where you would take sort of a ghost tour around there. So I do them all the time now, but I don't think I did it before New Orleans.
There are a lot of ghosts in Hannibal. History tours.
Yeah, there are a lot of ghosts in Hannibal.
Yeah.
Hannibal is a fun town. We should do a podcast all about Hannibal Outsider. Justin, you've taken a couple tours, and I don't want you to tell us your thoughts on them, but what are the tours you've taken in New Orleans?
Still build toward that, but I have literally never taken any kind of tour, a ghost, a booze, anything like that, before we went to New Orleans. And that was the first time that me and Lily went down there. We took the booze tour.
Yeah. Also known as a cocktail tour. Yes.
The cocktail, the booze, whatever.
By the time we took it, it was a booze tour. Yes.
I will say this. It was the best and equal parts worst tour I've ever taken in my life. So, and the only one I've ever
taken. I was going to say, that's like when I tell my father-in-law, you're my favorite father-in-law.
That's right. I loved how panicked you were, because you're like, I swear it's better than this. I swear it's better than this. Like, because you're the one who, like, you booked it, you know,
The cocktail tour was passed down. It started off with our friend Garrett. Had a 100-year-old man named Joe that gave him a tour, a cocktail tour, and he loved it so much. And Garrett is a 100-year-old man and a 40-some-year-old body now anyway, so he totally was simpatico with Joe. When we went back, we took another tour, and Peter was with me that time, and it was with a guy named Brian, and that was not as good as Joe, according to Garrett, but Brian was fine. And Brian, in hindsight, was great compared to the third cocktail tour I went on, which you were on, Justin, and I don't remember even her name. But I think the point of this is it depends on who your tour guide is to how good the damn tour is going to be. It really is.
It was. And I did a tour with Joe, and he was amazing. Well, Garrett can be very set in his ways. I 100% agree with Garrett that Joe was exceptionally good at it because he probably had been doing it for 40 years. And just on tours in general, in other cities, I've never done one of these in New Orleans, but Charlie and I have done quite a few of like factory tours and things. Those are always interesting. And
like a pretzel tour, a pineapple tour. Yeah, like I went to the Dole pineapple tour in Hawaii.
Yeah, Hawaii, yeah. I did that too. Yeah, it's fun.
We did the Mars candy tour.
That's cool.
Yeah. Got to see how all the candy was made, the insider secrets.
Yeah.
The travel journalist host, Rick Steves on PBS, he talks about taking tours in other cities. And he goes, you know, you have to check them out and do your research and reviews on them and which ones are good. He goes, but they're a great way, especially if it's your first time to a city, to get acclimated to the city and see some of those highlights. And a lot of times, which I have found this to be true in New Orleans, is you get automatic passes in the things that you would otherwise have to wait for because you're going in as a pre-scheduled group.
Totally true.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I mean, there were several things that I've been able to see on tours that, yeah, you just can't do if you're just walking down the street with your wife. You can't just pop into Antoine's and go look at their wine cellar that, to the extent that we were shown it, you know, not only just the wine cellar in Antoine's, but also other little rooms in the back where they, you know, used to plan the Mardi Gras parades and like all the presidents would eat at. And, you know, there was a lot of things in these tours that are, you know, make it really cool to go to. So I agree with you, Peter. You know, what I have learned after doing tours in New Orleans is that it is like the easiest way to, hey, I don't have any, especially if you have no friends down there and you're not there with a veteran of the city in any way, the best way to sort of acclimate yourself to at least the touristy areas that you should know about is doing a tour. And let's talk about some of these kinds of tours. Cause there's, like you said, Peter, it's perfect. That is what they do. They market tours in New Orleans to everyone. I mean, most towns have them. I don't know where tours started necessarily, you know, they're all over the United States, but New Orleans has to be one of the top five cities on where you can do almost any kind of tour around. And the first one we want to talk about is historical tours, because of course we've talked about it a little bit here on the show, but there's so much history in that area, especially in the French Quarter. And there's all kinds of different historical tours you can take. You can take walking tours, which if you go down, and you guys have all seen it, you go to the French Quarter, you're walking around every block at night. When the sun goes down, there's like freaking 10 tours going on any road at any time. Now I've never, every once in a while, I'll sit there for a couple minutes and just listen to, cause you know, the tour guides are from A to Z, man. They are, you know, really stoic and very straightforward, or the most popular ones, of course, are the very, like, you know, they usually look like they're dressing up like a cosplay player, and they're, they're very theatrical and they're very great storytellers. And, you know, that is A to Z down there with the tour guides. But, also in the historical tours, you have the carriage ride, that is basically around the French Quarter, which I've taken a couple times. And that is something that if you were going down there for the very first time and you're in Jackson Square, sort of the heart of it all, right there in front of the St. Louis Cathedral, across from Cafe du Monde, you're on Decatur. There's there's 10 carriage rides waiting for people to take you around. You can go in different areas. You know, it's about, I forget, somewhere like $40, $50 a person. And they take you around and show you the highlights. And again, I have taken a carriage ride where I'm blown away with, oh, that was Brad Pitt's house, Nicolas Cage's house, sort of like Tour of the Stars, like you'd hear about in California and Los Angeles. But then I've had one recently with my parents where we sort of mocked how the guy was giving the tour because it was just so formulaic and boring. So have either of you guys done that? Have you, Justin, have you taken any kind of historical tour down there?
No, I haven't, but I'm not opposed. I'm an advocate for taking one of those tours when you get down there. I think, Chris, you were sort of our tour guide when me and Lily got down there, right? So true. We kind of had that built in, right? But if you're going to New Orleans for the first time, it's whether it's a good tour guide or a bad tour guide, it's a really good way to kind of introduce yourself to the city or the quarter and, you know, find these cool spots, and maybe you find a hot spot that you like, or, you know, a bar that you enjoy, or, you know, whatever.
And you can negotiate, and the carriage tours are the most accessible. They're, as you said, they're just sitting there waiting.
Yeah, you don't have to plan it. Yeah,
you don't have to pre-schedule those, or they're just jumping. But you can negotiate with them, and you can talk to all of them before you get on one. They're going to hassle you and hustle to try and get you immediately to get into the whoever you approach first. But talk to them, see who you like, you know, see if you don't like anyone, try again the next day. But usually you can kind of pick up personalities pretty quick and how interested they're in and actually giving the tour that day. And there's a little flexibility in price with them.
So they kind of like cater the tour toward what you want to do, or they?
Yeah, I mean, I've taken the carriage ride like several times. So if you get the right, you know, they're all sort of different mom. I don't know if they're mom and pop. They see they're different companies. I can't tell who owns them, but sure. They're all sort of like, hey, we've done the whole, if you're by yourself, you know, especially if you have like 4 to 6 in your party and you're like, hey, we've done the, you know, the tourist A ride where it's like, hey, this is Cafe Du Monde and this is Jackson Square. And this is, you know, the stuff that you're going to hit every time for someone that's never been there. You can tell him like, hey, can you take us a little deeper on like some things that I wouldn't know about, 'cause I've been here 10 times and I just, you know, this is, and most of them will oblige you on that. So that, you know, that's fun. But I mean, unfortunately that's sort of that's hard to get that ride because you're going to be probably most of the time stuck with like, hey, it's grandma and grandpa. They've never been here ever. So they want to go see the hits, you know? So, yeah. You know, it's sort of depends on when you hit it, but yeah, the carriage rides have always been.
There's the Landry's, which is
yes, exactly.
Johnny Dare's favorite spot to come in New Orleans.
Yeah. But I think the historical tours that I know of the most, just talking about that kind specifically, you have the French Quarter tour, which they talk about Katrina. They'll talk about who lives and still the celebrity stars that still own houses there or rent it out. And they also have Garden District tours. Those are the two big ones that I know of. I've never done the Garden District tour before. I mean, that's going to be more, I would believe, set on architecture and just the history there. Obviously, I've never taken that. I don't think Peter has either. But
you can do self-guided ones on the Garden District. We just found like a highlights one and kind of walk stuff and like, oh, there's that house and there's a, you know, we didn't have anybody with us.
You know, this is going to date me big time, but I used to love those tours where you would go to like Gettysburg had this where you would rent the audio like tour and you would put it in your car, or you had the handheld audio thing and you would just go to each little station, you know.
Those were awesome.
That's so passe now. It's like now you download an app and I'm sure it works, but
kids, Google it. You'll hear it.
The second kind of tour I want to talk about is ghost and haunted tours, because I think pretty much, like I said, every city in America that's like, let's say top 30 cities in America probably has some version of a ghost or a haunted tour in there. But I mean to tell you, if you haven't been to New Orleans in the French Quarter, it is a perfect soundstage for a haunted tour. I mean, especially obviously at night when you know, you might be fearing for your life anyway, you know, so it's a great place for that. We have
adventure around every corner.
Yeah, we've taken a haunted tour before, and it was very cool. The person giving it was over the top, was like, you know, and what's funny is the places that we've stayed at, a couple of places that are known for, you know, hellacious murders that we talk about, which we stay at the haunted hotel, which if you sit out on the Ursulines and you read the little, they have a poster outside the window out there that says what happened there. But also you stayed in one too, Justin, the Andrew Jackson. You read that was one of the most haunted places in the French Quarter.
I think it was like rated, what I send you, like number 2 most haunted places in New Orleans. Yeah. It's funny because I think we got the ship room because we didn't get to have the whole full experience.
You stayed in a hotel where you go to the bathroom and your knee is hitting the toilet. So and it your was. Your knee's hitting the sink, I should say, when you're sitting on the toilet. And, you know, that's them, how they made them places back in the 1700s.
They weren't looking for 6'2", 240-pound guys back in when they made those times.
Why did they not have any future foresight in that?
I didn't get to experience any of the haunted experiences in Andrew Jackson, but you know, the haunted hotel is kind of cool because they lean into it, right? Because they have like the axe murderer when you open up your closet door, and there's like, oh my god, there's like a little outline of it and stuff. And New Orleans by its you know, I like that New Orleans kind of leans into that culture and that history. I mean, there's a reason that Anne Rice lives there, right? And she does all that, you know, the vampire gimmicks and all that. You know, it's cool. It's fun.
All the great vampire shows happen in New Orleans.
Yeah, that's true. My wife watches them all or reads them all or all that good stuff.
I mean, let's not forget to mention, if you are a vampire fan or you're a huge fan of Twilight, I mean, that's old now, I know, but there is a vampire cafe, there's a vampire speakeasy, there's vampires everywhere. I mean, they really lean into that stuff.
Well, we got to put up with those vampire speakeasy above our bar.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. We've almost come to blows with those guys, and they pick some weirdos to watch the door.
Yeah. Imagine that, a vampire fan going to a vampire speakeasy being weird.
Yeah, you would think they'd be pretty normal, centered people, but they're not. Peter, the LaLaurie Mansion is a famous mansion in the French Quarter, and it is an infamous haunted house there. You know, our friend Travis enjoys talking about this mansion a lot because he fancies himself as a tour guide down there as well in some forms. did you ever go around? Did you ever read about that, Peter? Do you know much about it?
I don't know too much about it. We, on the tour we did, we didn't, I know Travis said that every tour goes by it. I don't remember us going by it. I do remember the guy who put it on, he had the full costume and everything. And he gave a lot of great stories and had built the suspense. And we pretty much ended up in front of an abandoned building, not too far from Landry's. And he was talking about how the history of that building and what it was, and a bunch of murderers and all sorts of things. And he's like talking about the energy coming out of the building. And he did a great job. Like, everybody's like, oh, I don't know. Maybe I feel something. Maybe I don't know. But at the end of the day, we were standing in front of an abandoned building. But he sold the tour, and it was done very well. But as far as the mansion now, that was not one we've hit.
So it was owned by Delphine LaLaurie. And you know, I think it's for sale currently. It's been owned by celebrities before. I forget who the last person that owned it was. I think Nicolas Cage might have actually owned it at one point. But it's definitely one of the most haunted locations in the city. I mean, you know, you read about it. Visitors say they hear phantom screams, footsteps, you know. Delphine LaLaurie, she was ran out of town, escaped to Paris in the 1830s, but apparently she enslaved multiple people who had reportedly been tortured, chained, and kept in inhumane conditions, and then she was ran out of town. So they really played up that now on these tours. But, you know, a haunted ghost tour is a great place, great thing to do if you're in New Orleans, because, you know, it's a walkable thing, and everything is so old and cool, and the architecture, everything together. And, you know, the crime aspect plays a role in that too. I think it makes it scary and fun. So
Charlotte knew that story because she had done a separate tour on kind of, she was down there by herself. That was a voodoo tour.
Yes.
And they did the mansion.
The Marie Laveau stuff. I mean, a voodoo tour is there's a voodoo and spiritual tours down there too, where they will take you to Marie Laveau, very well-known voodoo queen. You know, she has stores dedicated to her. I mean, she's buried in one of the cemeteries that you can go see. That's another tour, a cemetery tour we'll get to, but like everything sort of connects. You know, you got the haunted ghost tour into the voodoo tour with Marie Laveau into cemetery tours where, if you've never been down there, you wouldn't know that, you know, a lot of the tombs in New Orleans are above ground because the city itself is below sea level. So you really can't bury them underground. So there is one of the biggest tours that we took. My family took the St. Louis Cemetery Number 1 tour, which is, you know, you get to walk around and, you know, you have a really good guide that tells you about all the famous people, a lot of musicians, of course, but Marie Laveau has got to be the top person that they sort of highlight on seeing these cemeteries. And, you know, my kids have... maybe this is bad. I've sort of taught my kids to like cemetery tours because they want to do them now. We bought the, what are the rods called? Where they,
the divining rods.
They're crossing. That means the ghost is talking to you, you know, whatever. We bought them those. So, man, one of the best stories I ever had was we were in a ghost tour in Hannibal, Missouri. And my son, we had just gotten them these rods. And in Hannibal, there is a sort of dilapidated cemetery that is the last stop of their cemetery tour. And at the very end, the guy is in this, like, I call it a candy van. And it's this like old man looks like he's going to, you know, abduct your children. And he's like, hey, it's dark out here. I'll leave the headlights on. Go try to find, there's a slave that actually has her name on a headstone out there, which was very rare for the times for that to happen.
Sure.
So we went out there and my kid was so scared. I was like, come on, Gunner. Like, he couldn't even talk. Like, I mean, it wasn't a joke. And like, we left him in the van with the dude for a while, which in hindsight, probably not the best.
Probably not the best move. He's probably better off with the ghost.
Yeah, I know. He ran out. And anyway, we have a great family story to give him trouble about for the rest of his life. But the cemetery tours, have you taken one of those, Peter? Because those are pretty cool if you like the history and how old some of those tombs are.
No, I've not done any of the cemetery tours, but I know you can do the more ghost side cemetery tours. You can do the historical ones because they'll do military ones and everything where they're talking just pure history of government officials and military people and historical figures that are buried out there also.
So like I said, the St. Louis Cemetery number one, the oldest, most famous cemetery, it opened in 1789. So that is the home to the tomb of Marie Laveau, which like I already said, the legendary voodoo queen of New Orleans. Also the rumored future burial site of actor Nicolas Cage, who built a pyramid shaped tomb here. And so due to vandalism, and this is going to be this is a problem with all the cemetery tours, due to vandalism, it is now restricted to guided tours only, which sucks. Now you have St. Louis Cemetery number two as well. But then Lafayette Cemetery number one, and you guys have both seen that from afar because that's the one right across the street in the Garden District from Commander's house.
Yeah.
And we walked in there once before 5-6 years ago, and you could walk in there. And now again, limited access due to, they're saying there's some preservation work going on, but I think someone told me it was vandalism there as well. But that Lafayette Cemetery number one featured in films like Interview with the Vampire, back to more vampire stuff. But cemetery tours are cool. I think they're, you know, we always, I don't know, my family grew up going to, my dad loved the Civil War, so he would always take me to these really old cemeteries and we would try to find the oldest, you know, birth and or death dates on these cemeteries. And if you start getting the mid to early 1800s, yeah, it's pretty cool. Let's talk about our favorite one that I know Justin wants to get to, and that is a food and drink tour, also known as the cocktail tour, because cocktail tours to me are if you were a drinker, and if you're in New Orleans, I hope you are, you should like doing these cocktail tours because, you know, despite what we're going to say about our varying levels of tour guides, I do think it's a really cool. I've gone to two. I think Peter's done at least two. They show you new places, and that's the best part about it. Like if you have there's tours, I will say in New Orleans, if you look up tours, tours in New Orleans on Google or whatever, you will find 5 million of them. Some of them are sort of more mainstream, like Gray Line is a very, you know, well-run company that doesn't like churns them out every day. Like they're a corporation. But then there's other people that are just like, there's one called Two Chicks Walking Tours, and they do anything from like, they'll do them for one person, you know, up to, I think they cut it off at like 20. Some of these tours get way more than that. I mean, if you want a little bit more intimacy with, like, you know, asking questions, a little bit better story one-on-one, you know, find one that's smaller. Find one that says, hey, we keep the group small, because some of these get pretty big. And the cocktail tours, I think they limited those to, I don't know, it was like 10 or so, 10 to 12.
Seems like that's about the best number for them.
I think they were about $30 to $35 each. They do not include drinks. That's just for the tour. And they will take you to roughly 5 to 6 different bars. And like I said, I've gone to two, and they had different bars each time. And, you know, the very first cocktail tour I took was with our boy Brian, and he took us to Sylvain and Broussard's on top of the other places we went to. But we had never been to those two bars, and my wife will still go to those each time we go now. So
that's
it's a
hit. Yeah, big hit.
Yeah, so, and I definitely, Sylvain's would not have been a place that, for all its history and as much as I enjoyed it, that would not have gone there if Brian hadn't taken us.
No. And that's the best part about these, just uncovered rock, kicking over these rocks. I mean, the thing about New Orleans is, as we've discussed many times, you will go down there, find your favorite haunts, go down to the haunts and say, hey, I'm going to try some new places, and then never do it because you just go to your regular haunts and never do new things. But these cocktail tours or just other tours in general will show you places to go that you can add to your future trips. And let's get to our cocktail tours, Peter. I'm going to start with you first before we get to the main event, Justin. But the Peter, you had Joe and Brian, and they both were different kinds, different ages, different kinds of tours, but both good in their own right, right?
Yeah, yeah. Joe was older, but you know, still when I went, you know, more than capable of leading the tour and did a great job. And I think any good tour, especially in a city like New Orleans, ties history into whatever the rest of the tour is about. He knew a ton of history. His family, Italian family, had been there for generations. He said that their family, they were bakers, and they were the ones who came up with the original recipe for the po' boy bread.
Wow.
That's where they made their money. He had been a principal, a teacher and a principal and everything else. So just very eloquent in what he talked about, and knew a ton of history. Told this great story about the all preceding by a couple of days, the Kennedy assassination and what was set up there in New Orleans. And where it was all supposed to have happened and how that went down. And that was like one of 10 stories he had. And same thing, took us to a couple of different great bars, knew the history of the different drinks, which one was known for what. That was Napoleon House. And that he explained that while they're not the originator of the Pimm's Cup, that was the best place to get one, that what they were most famous for. And then Brian, we went on that one together, and I thought Brian was great. The whole thing was, it was supposed to be Joe, and this guy Brian shows up.
Joe was getting up there in age. He might have had some health issues. I forget why he couldn't make that one. But our friend Garrett, who really liked Joe, and much like I did to Justin, Garrett really talked up Joe in the cocktail tour. And then when we got there, who's this guy? And it was a middle-aged dude with longer hair, sort of had more of like a, hey, what's up, dude? Let's hang 10, sort of like a surfer attitude. And that did not fly with old man Garrett. It didn't.
No.
No. Yes. But he still took us to like, so what I liked about Brian though is, like Peter said, you go on the cocktail tour, they'll take you to these bars, they'll say, hey, we're here at like whatever Lafitte's blacksmith shop, they're known for the purple drink, get that if you want, but if you don't like sweet sugary drinks, why don't you try a Bloody Mary here, because they do a great one or whatever. And each one had like a great drink that they were known for. You could buy it. I can't remember if they gave you like a discounted price on that. I don't really remember because you were part of a tour. But I do know that back to your original point a long time ago, Peter, is that when we went to the Hermes bar at Antoine's, and I believe that's where it's at, and it's connected to it. And when we got to go in there, we were able to go in through the bowels of Antoine's, which I thought was super cool. They have like that, that wine room that's like a hallway that looks like it's, you know, a mile long. You get to see all the awesome like rooms in the back that you just don't get to see when there's like a full, you know, dining hall. And that was the sort of the same situation with most of the places we went to. You know, these guys, obviously these companies or whatever, these tour guides have their company has a deal with these bars. You can go in there, and, you know, show the place around when there's nobody there. And like, I don't know. I just thought it was really cool to see a lot of these inside of these bars.
Yeah. Going to Antoine's and, seeing the kitchen, and they talk through some of their classical dishes and the prep that it takes to get into. Some of those dishes, there's a 2 or 3 day prep time to get into the table.
Yeah. So, I thought Brian was good. You know, Garrett wasn't happy with him, but I think in hindsight, Garrett thinks Brian's fine. Again, it goes to like, you want your tour guide to be good and to take you to some cool places. And I think he sort of mixed in a good mix of, hey, these are some really touristy places like Lafitte's, but also I'm taking to Sylvain, where you have walked past Sylvain 20 times, but you've never stopped. And here's why you should. And that's what we did. French 75 is, my wife will get that every time there now. But so I had all that knowledge, and that's when I went to Justin. I said, you got to take this damn cocktail tour, man. It's the only thing you should do when you go down there. And so, man, I cannot remember. Was her name Julie or something? I can't remember her name. Let's call her Julie. Julie was our tour guide. And, you know, Julie took us to what I consider to be five or six of the most touristy places to go. And that number one sucked, but she also was, her knowledge wasn't the best. Justin, take it away.
Sure. So Julie was a completely nice person, and she probably was a, you know, average tour guide. But when you go down there for the first time, you're like, you're fired up. And I don't want to disparage anybody from taking a tour of any sort in New Orleans. It's a good way to introduce yourself to the quarter, to introduce yourself to the culture. Julie, as we're calling her, was not the most knowledgeable. She's like, okay, over here we've got the Two Sisters bar, and we've got this and that, and we got going on over here, and this is where my father-in-law was raised, and blah, 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 blah. So I didn't feel like I was getting the full, as you pitched it to me, the full experience. And no. I'm not gonna put the heat on you. It's on Julie.
No, dude, I did the worst thing. I gave you expectations.
That is true.
Everything's going to suck, but just know it's going to suck. And you go in, you're like, this is great. That's what I should have done.
It was great, but I was confused when he ended up in the upper level of like a espresso bar at one point.
That was, okay. I was telling Peter about this place. It was Monolito.
I can't believe you remember that. I was like, we're in like this little shaft of an upstairs compartment of an espresso
like one
bar.
Table.
On a booze tour, and we're like, we're all like packed in there like sardines. Like, can I even get a beer? Can I get a Bud Light?
I don't think you could.
No, I don't even. What happened after? I kind of blacked out after that thing.
That was called Monolito, and and Julie did a great job because my wife and I passed him. We're like, we need to go back there and get some Cuban coffee. Now, should that have been on a cocktail tour? Probably not.
Nope.
But
I'm not on a coffee tour. And Julie was like just the most milquetoast tour guide ever. Oh my God. And it built up my head. I was like, oh my God, it's going to be great. New Orleans. And we're looking up all the, you know, how we're wanting to do. We look it all up and you research it and you get all excited about it. And I was like, okay. And I'm the internal optimist. So I'm like, oh, this is going to get better. This is going to get better. And then that moment that you realize it's the shits is when you're having Cuban coffee and the top level of whatever
Monolito. Yeah.
Monolito. Whatever your Monolito's perfectly great establishment. But when the guy looks at you, when you're coming in, like you got what? Okay. Well, put him upstairs. We'll get him some coffee. I don't know if she thought we were hammered or what, but I had like two drinks and I don't know. It was a unique and the best and worst tour I've ever had in my life.
Yeah, it was your.
So I can't bury it, but I can't put it over either. So
you're my best and worst friend named Justin. So yeah, but I agree.
Oh,
it's all about the tour guide. That is the first on a cocktail tour. Is the first time I ever went to the Carousel Bar. I think that was a Brian. That was the last stop at Brian's. I think
that was.
And
yeah,
I had never gone to the Carousel Bar, and that was another one that is an iconic thing that now Richard Scott plays at all the time we go. But I learned a lot on the cocktail tours, regardless of how good or bad they are. But
the Carousel Bar is a great place. I've yet to sit the Carousel.
Me neither. Can't find a spot.
Yeah.
It's a touch uppity for me. I mean, it's nice. You know, you get, I think my Hurricanes there are about a third of the, you know, potency of other places I go, and probably twice as high.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So that's the problem with that place. But I will always go there when our favorite musician is there. And it's a very nice place. And yes, I have heard if you want to take a ride on the carousel that spins, I think one time in 30 minutes or something like that, you must probably go up there and pay for someone's tab to get their seat is what I've been told. So
that sounds like college.
Yeah, it does sort of. It does. but yeah, that
it is a beautiful bar outside of the actual carousel. It's an L-shaped bar. It's a gorgeous, Music's hanging around the corner and very comfortable. I mean, they know that there's what only like 20 seats or whatever at the bar. And so they made the whole rest of the space very comfortable.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a nice spot.
The cocktail tour is a fun one. I mean, hopefully you get a really good person. And if you've never been there, I think it's an awesome place to for you to start. I mean, you know, like the last one I went on with Julie, they had we went to Napoleon House, Lafitte's Blacksmith Shop, Pirate's Alley, the Court of Two Sisters, yes, and one more. You know, they were all pretty. You know, these are the touristy spots.
Yeah, so, I think that's the point too. It's like, even if you get a bad cocktail tour, it's still worth the time, right? Because you can kind of get the lay of the land.
Sure.
For like whatever, you know,
Spread and take a pad of rinds.
Right. Yeah.
I can't remember if she did or not. But,
she did not when I was there.
Okay.
I had not heard of Pat O'Brien's till the Jeremy Wyatt controversy erupted. So
Pat O'Brien's, I have a problem with Pat O'Brien's because they claim that they have a good hurricane, and it's simply not true. So
right. Yeah, it's not. It's,
that's some red Kool-Aid and there was some alcohol in it, but it's
kids,
not.
If you like sugar with a little shot of rum in it, then you go to Pat O'Brien's.
But who am I to talk, because Pat O'Brien's has been there for 1,000 years and they make lots of money, so whatever. Yeah, whatever. Hey, works.
I mean they got a spot in Disneyland now, so, and God bless, go with God.
You know, to clarify on the cocktail tours and the food tours, if you are reasonable and at the stops of what you get, you're not trying to slam drinks or gorge yourself on whatever's available food wise you're gonna be just fine at the end.
Yeah,
you know, the amount of time you spend walking and everything else, you don't have to worry about falling down or not making the end of the trip because you're stuffed or you're so smashed you can't stand up.
Right.
Well, those were Gray Line tours, and I do want to point out that Gray Line starts the tour off with a complimentary rum punch. Remember that?
Very nice.
You probably don't remember that, Justin, but you were already hammered. So
now it's the Cuban coffee at the spot is what jumped the chart. But that's a good point, dude, Peter. Like, you know, even if you like the history of where you're at, you want to have a nice couple cocktails and get an introduction into where you're at, the cocktail tour is a nice spot to start off with.
It is.
Very, yeah.
Another tour I just recently took with a riverboat tour. That's there's several riverboats down there that give a tour, but my family went on the steamboat Natchez. And I had heard about that for years. You hear it all the time. You hear the calliope playing when they're boarding. You see it going up and down the river each time you're there. And it was really cool. I mean, the boys enjoyed it. It's a couple hours, you know, just going south and then back north up the river. And it was cool. You know, they have a live band on there. They serve food. You can take the tour with or without the food on the Natchez. And you can sit inside, sit outside. It's a fun tour. I don't think either one of you guys have taken that yet, but we enjoyed it. And I got to see one of the cool parts is I think it's in Chaumette. You can see it on the side of the river while you're going south. They do have sort of a memorial there for the Battle of New Orleans, which took place in the 1800s. And I would like at some point to rent a car and to go check that out. But you know, that's a cool tour, but again, that's outside of the traditional tour of, you know, of being in the French Quarter. There's so many walking tours and carriage rides that you can take just within the French Quarter. You might not care about doing these more exterior ones. But the other one I wanted to talk about,
I'm still sideways with you guys about you guys taking that tour, because every time I've gone down there, as I've said, someone who grew up on the river, I've been out on the river, love going on the river. Who wants to go on the steamboat tours? No, that's too much, too long journey. And then the one time I don't go with you, you're like, oh, guess what we did?
Well, that was called, I had a 9 and 14 year old, and like, what the hell are we going to do today? Oh, the steamboat. But yes, I just totally took a dump on your river history and went without you. Yeah. That's payback from when you went to the wrong Molly's, I guess.
There you go.
But anyway, the other tour that I've taken that I've done a couple of them are the swamp tours. Swamp. Have either of you guys done that?
I have not.
No, not a swamp. Same thing. Not a swamp tour, like you're talking about. We did Lafayette. We did it in the swamp.
But you did the real tour of driving through them. Yeah. Swamp tours are all over the board. Again, if you look up swamp tours, there are many companies that give them. A lot of them will pick you up in the French Quarter and drive you out there. So you just meet at a spot somewhere in the quarter, and you know it's about a 30-minute, give or take 15-minute ride out to where they're at, and then you get on a boat. They'll take you up and down the bayou, the swamp area, and they will feed the alligators or the whatever other part they show you. Now, who's is this dog? Has he been on the alligator tour?
No, he's just whining because he's in this cage. Sorry. Apologies.
The swamp tour is really fun to do. Kids love it. They get to, on the first one we went to, the kids got to hold a little baby alligator they had on the boat. You know, there's plenty of like fun stuff for kids to do. But the last time we did a tour down there, and I want you guys to do this if you ever have an opportunity. It was sort of an odd one for us because I was with my parents and I had more time to do stuff like this. But we went down to Houma, Louisiana. It's spelled H-O-U-M-A. It's south, a little bit more in the, you know, the bayou of Louisiana, more than New Orleans. And I got to meet the grandson of the lady that started the first ever swamp tour in Louisiana, basically the first swamp tour in the South. And it was interesting because it wasn't as commercial. It was just him that popped up at, we met him at this bar that his friend owned that was right on the river or you know, right on the water. And we went down there, we got on there with him. And I think I told you both you guys the story, but you know, it was a little late in the season. A lot of the alligators have already started going into hibernation for the winter, but we still saw some like mid-range ones that were a little bit younger that he had trained to basically, he had some chicken thighs that he'd throw out. And this one it was like a Disney movie. He would tell me how long he was working on training the alligators and other animals on this tour. And they would just come straight up to the boat like a dog for a treat. He would say, come to this side. It would do exactly what he said. It was very cool to see. But the best part of that tour by far, if you get to this one, is he's like, hey, I don't say this because I can't promise it because I don't know if it'll happen every time. But I've been working for the last, I don't know, 6 to 12 months. I forget what he said exactly. It was a long time on having these bald eagles come directly to the boat and sort of like get this chicken skin that I'm throwing out on the water. And we're like, oh, that's cool. So, man, he made a couple like very, it was a very loud bird calls, okay, with his mouth, not a wooden call. And it was like, it was so far away, hundreds of yards away. You see this huge eagle's nest on the top of this tree. And as soon as he made that call and he threw this chicken skin out, this eagle flew right to the boat and was literally, I don't know, let's say 5 feet away in full view of everyone's pictures and cameras, videos taking of that. He would come and he would circle the boat and he would get this chicken skin and go back there. And he did that multiple times. And like, I don't know, that was like the first 5 minutes of the tour. And my wife were like, we've already seen what we want to see.
You're done. You're done at that point. Done. Yeah.
We were.
So I being from Missouri, you know what the turkey call is. What's the bald eagle call?
He just went. Like it was just like a weird sound like that. I don't know. Like
he figured it out.
He makes. I would assume if you keep doing the same thing, like he would tell me, like the history of like trying to get, like, for example, he probably the same way with the alligators, but he told us what he would do with the eagle is he would just go to that part that of the swamp that he was at, and he would throw the chicken skin there, and he would drive away, and he would do that for like 5 days. And then he would eventually just a little by little, just keep building to where he had basically trained it. You know, it's amazing. And
cool.
I think the bald eagle is like one of the coolest animals ever. And so a bird, obviously. I just, anything with the bald eagle, I think is super cool. And to see that, I was, it paid for itself. It did. But you guys should, you would obviously love taking Lawrence to that, Justin. I mean, your kid would enjoy being, he would like the swamp tour. He would.
He would probably talk about that for a year and a half.
He would. He would.
Yeah.
Not my kids. My kids, like, you know, they they poo-poo everything and don't care. But your kid, he would enjoy it.
Well, he's not a teenager yet, so.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah. He's right almost there, though.
Yeah, next year. I got one more year.
I don't know. That's basically what I see at the top tours in New Orleans, especially the French Quarter. I mean, if you guys, like I said, if you go down there for the first time and you just want a sort of an introduction to the area, I think the historical tour, either walking or a carriage ride in the French Quarter, and then follow that up with a cocktail tour. If you did that in a, 3 to 4 day span, I think you'd have a pretty good understanding of, a lot of the history and some of the fun stuff you can do there. Is that sort of what you guys think?
Yeah, it's a very good way to familiarize, especially if you're coming in cold. It's a nice way to get yourself inundated with the city, kind of find out what you might like or not like, and figure out some of the spots. It's a very nice way to start.
And we didn't even get into all the tours of like the museums have their own tours of their properties and the buildings.
Right.
Our buddy Travis brought up the New Orleans School of Cooking, and it's not a tour in the sense of that you're walking somewhere, but it is a tour of the food and the culture in the area. But that's almost a whole separate episode to get into about that. That's a whole different realm.
Well, Peter, I don't mean to, just take a huge dump on our friend Travis, but so if I pay to go see to make my own, distilled liquor at the Sazerac house, I don't call that a tour. I call that I'm paying to do something. Okay. So I think he's stretching the term of tour a little too much there, but I did want to tell you though, I think maybe the next episode we should do the School of Cooking. I think the New Orleans School of Cooking is a tremendous place. Peter has taken the seated version, right, where you sat and then I took my wife was nice enough to get me the hands-on version of going to the School of Cooking in New Orleans, which I believe started in 1980, so it's been around a while.
You just cut that, right? This is last year.
I guess they're not tours, but they're not museums, because they are museums. It's interactive things to do down there.
Correct.
Like what? Like, give me an example.
Well, like the Sazerac House. It's technically a museum, but it's also an active distillery.
Yeah, that's cool.
And you get cocktails, all over the place in that. That's part of the deal, and all sorts of stuff. And, you see the workings of everything. So it's kind of like a factory tour, but it's also a museum. There's another one. There's another food museum down there. There are a couple other places.
Yeah, I was going to say, I didn't want to cut you. Like, I just had my list of like the kinds of tours, but if you had other museum type tours you wanted to talk about, I have no idea. I have not been to the World War II Museum or the Civil War Museum, or, I've been to a lot of things there, but I haven't done that. So I didn't know if I don't know if that falls under tour.
Well, like I said, they have their own tours.
Yeah.
Within the building, because like the Ursuline convent has a tour of not just the convent but the grounds and everything that they had with it, and the World War II Museum, they probably have 20 different tours, depends on which building you're in.
Yeah, the Ursuline convent is on a lot of those historical tours. It's talked about definitely on the carriage ride. That is that's these legends of what they call the casket girls, who allegedly brought vampirism to the city, which of course is why vampires are such a huge deal down there. Not just because, and that Ursuline convent is right down the street from the Haunted Hotel.
So, no shit.
So, I mean, it's right. It's like a block up. So it's right there. But yeah, that is like a lot of people say, it's one of the creepiest stops on the tour. Cause again, if you get some, I love listening, like Justin, I know you listen to some of these podcasts where they talk, mm-hmm. the guys talk about the tour guy, the tour podcast that you've sent me. And those are pretty cool because, like I said, if you get a really knowledgeable and great storyteller, I mean, it'll be something you'll talk about the rest of your life.
Yeah. It's awesome if you get a great one. But even if you get a bad one, it's still fun. I mean, it's the experience is what you make of it, right? So, Yeah, they're showing you all these cool spots. You're getting the lay of the land. I know I've said that like two or three times throughout this podcast, sure. But that's still important, right? You, especially as a newbie, if you're coming in, or even if you want to learn more about it, that's a really nice way to start or to better educate yourself.
Now, Peter, is there a tour that we should take on an upcoming trip that you've been dying to do, or should we retry? You know, I've sort of want to dip my toe back in the cocktail tour at some point, you know, because although I know we've hit a lot of them and I don't know what they're going to teach me at this point, but I'm hoping that there's another Joe, a young Joe out there that could just really wants to, you know, get his straps and like show me some new stuff.
Yeah. Hope springs eternal. I'm open for a cocktail tour. Nothing jumping out to mind though.
Okay. So as a experienced New Orleans visitor, what would you recommend for me to take tour wise?
I mean, I think my opinion is I think you should do the haunted tour. I mean, I think that to me is the one that will, if you have like, that to me is the most theatric people there giving them. And they,
I love my theatrics.
As a professional wrestler, you enjoy that. So, I think, that is the one, that's the bread and butter down there. You know, the carriage ride varies greatly. I've enjoyed, like, you know, I've taken several and the last one wasn't good. So I have like a little bit of a bad taste in my mouth with that one. Yeah. But, you know, that's probably the shortest and maybe the most expensive in some ways. So, you know, they're sort of all over the board. You're talking anywhere from 25 to 60 bucks, probably, if you're doing like a walking / you know, carriage ride around there, on any of these tours. So, that's sort of where the sweet spot is, $20 to $60. Per head. So, plus, you know, look, yeah. What were we going to say?
Plus a tip.
Plus the tip. Yes. Don't forget to tip your guide, and maybe they'll feel a little bit better about saying something more interesting than some of the ones we've had, you know? So, but anyway, guys, I enjoy the tours down there. I think we could, I tell my wife every time I'm down there, we should have done this tour. I want to do this tour because there's always something down there that I read about. If you see all the pamphlets down there, there's always a new one happening. There's many shops in the French Quarter that have, you know, come sign up for a tour tonight or whatever that you can peruse and sort of see. And there's something that I think should be a part of, like, maybe if you go there a lot, maybe one out of every 4 to 5 times you're down there, because I think that's a good, you know, just sort of regrouping, re-remembering what you, you know, having a different perspective of someone showing you around the town. But
yeah, that's fair.
And I do think, I don't know about the next episode, but I was thinking we could talk about the New Orleans School of Cooking. Now, Justin, you would be a bystander on that, and you can give your thoughts, because I know you like to cook, but you have not been blessed walking inside the walls of the school. So you'll,
well, that might inspire me to do that.
So. Yeah, I think it would. Much like our friend Travis has been inspired to go on our guys trip this year. So,
yeah. I like to credit this podcast for that, Travis.
I think so.
You coming back.
I agree.
At this point, I can't make it there with you, but maybe next time.
Yeah, I think you'll be there in November, so you're fine. But thanks for joining us on this episode about tours in New Orleans, specifically mostly the French Quarter, but all around. And we think you should try them. Try multiple ones. Go on the swamp tour, the cocktail tour, the historical tour, the voodoo tour, maybe even the cemetery tour. There's a lot of them out there. And, you know, each company has new people to give. And I just think it's a cool way to help the economy down there and also just keep these people wanting to give these tours, because I've had some really good ones down there. So thanks for joining us this week. Next week, the New Orleans School of Cooking. I'm Chris for Peter and Justin. We'll see you then.
Hey, now.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to the NOLA Outsider Podcast. We'd love to hear about your experiences in the greatest city in the world. Email us at outsidernola@gmail.com. Also, check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/NOLA Outsider or visit NOLAOutsider.com. See you next time on NOLA Outsider.